It's 5 o'clock Wednesday. Welcome to Joyful Echo with Jean and Kathleen on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, where we gather together as sisters in friendship to echo God's love. Now here are your hosts, Jean and Kathleen.
Hi, ladies. I'm Kathleen.
I'm Jean. Welcome back. Yay. It's Wednesday with Gabe.
We are with Gabe again.
I'm telling you. Wednesday with Gabe.
Yes. It could be multiple shows. But we promised you last week that we would have Gabe back again for another week. And we are holding to that promise. And it's kind of selfish because I've really enjoyed this.
We're having a blast, actually. We're having a really good time. We've got more ideas coming. We're like, how do we harness all these ideas in one show?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh. So, ladies, we're just in prayer as to where to take this second episode with Gabe. But we wanted to start by asking Gabe about his relationship with his mom and the role that she played in kind of bringing you to this point in your life.
Yes. So my mom's always been like prayerful. Always, you know, she's always pushed along, and my dad has done it through his actions. You know, my mom's a lot more verbal, if you know my mom, and extroverted, and my dad is just a man of faith, but through his actions, and seeing that help. But my mom, she did play a pivotal role in my transformation and like desiring change in my life, because I always remembered how she pushed the importance of prayer and like especially the rosary. But that doesn't really like cling to you, you know, when you're, you know, around the influence of the world and in high school. Mm-hmm. But it was the times when I went back after partying and I'd come back home and I saw the look of like hurt in my mom's eyes that like would crush me. And I'd be like, this is horrible. Like, you know, like when you like just seeing the disappointment of your mother, not in a judgmental way, but like, this hurts me because I care so much about you. It's like, and I'm not going to lie, at first I saw it as more of a judgment. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is so annoying because she just doesn't understand. You know, my mom would ask me questions like, why do you even like drink? Why do you do this? It doesn't make sense to me. And to me, it was like, made perfect sense. I was like, Mom, because it's a great time. What do you mean? I thought you were sanguine too. Like, did you get it? It's a great time. And but throughout that, I started realizing like, no, my mom was only pushing this and was asking me these questions because she cared. And I met people like, I didn't really come to appreciate my mom until I was a missionary and met people who had a lack of that motherhood in their life. People who said, like, I had a friend missionary who was a girl, and she told me I would have died just for my mom to ask me, like, how are you after a school day? She said, my mom asked me that one time, and I started crying.
Wow.
And I was like, my mom asked me that every day, and I got annoyed.
Right. Yeah.
And asked me the details. And it was that relationship that we had that also made, like, you know, her having those follow-up questions after a party really, like, dig deep into my heart, and like it bothered me, it hurt, and it created like restlessness.
What was one question that she would ask you? Like, I know your mother well. I'm just wondering, was there any particular question that really was like a turning point for you or that really sunk harder?
It was more of seeing how it hurt her. So nothing really she said, just the facial expressions, but also that one liner, take Jesus and Mary with you. And how I knew she was constantly praying for me.
Mm-hmm.
And God used that in like many ways that I didn't realize until about a year later. Because I didn't understand like why the Jesus and Mary always ate me up. It was like a jab to your soul right before you went to a party. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened. Those words probably had more effect on me than any other like sentence or question that she ever had. But it definitely was a big piece of that was her prayers for me. But aside from that, it was the take Jesus and Mary with you. It haunt me. Like, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. It would haunt.
I see it as a t-shirt now. All moms will be wearing
it. No, take Jesus and Mary with you.
Take Jesus and Mary with you.
Exactly.
When my kids leave and when they listen, they'll be like, oh, yes. When my kids leave, what I have always said to them, and it might change now, was always, remember you take your name with you.
Wow.
Remember that you take your name with you, because we live in a relatively small community, even though Charlotte is a big city. And, you know, you're a Lewis. When you go out there, that's who you are. That's what you represent. That's, if something happens, if you do something, if somebody sees you, you know, so you take your name with you. But
yeah, that's awesome.
What your mom was sharing was the supernatural version of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what she's saying is, you belong to Jesus. I was there at your baptism. And you're taking that candle, you're taking that baptismal light out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to see it? What is it going to say? What are you taking the Lord to? Because he's with you in your mm-hmm. heart. So I can imagine how that would just...
It's a horrible thing to be reminded of, too, when you're about to sin.
Yeah.
You can tell me anything else. Can you just say, have fun, be safe?
I know. Like, make
don't come
choices.
And take Jesus
yes.
there with you. I was like, I don't think they want to come with me where I'm going.
Right? And then there's the like, okay, so why am I going if I wouldn't want to take that? Yes.
And
oh.
like you, and you know it's a reminder of you doing, like, I know I'm doing what I'm not supposed to be doing, but I don't want to think about it. Mm-hmm. But then you say that and it's like a lingering reminder and it just drives you nuts. So,
yes. Oh, man.
So I'd be like, I'm going to pray the rosary and then I'm going to go drink so I can just forget about it all and numb my pain.
So what would you say to the moms right now that are listening and their kids are in college, they're young adults, maybe they're not in church right now. Maybe they have made, they've been raised maybe in a home that teaches all these things and they're now making other choices because they look, that looks more exciting or inviting or promising. What would you say to those moms? Because
my mom definitely wasn't perfect. And there was a lot of things that I was like, I wish she did differently, you know, like in truth, like when I did come home. And I would really say first, if anything, realize that, like, actually my mom told me this yesterday, someone told her, but like, realize you're not the savior. You're not going to help your kids. You're not going to be the one. I mean, you can help your kids, but you're not going to be able to save them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's in God's hands. And you have to put that in God and not on yourself. Because then you become, you know, you put yourself in the, like, feet of Jesus. And you're not him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, he's the Savior. He is the one that brings you back to him, essentially.
Right.
And so first recognizing that, and prayer is the most powerful thing you can do. Like St. Monica did, just on her knees praying. And then second thing would be meeting them where they're at and seeking to understand first before giving them what you think they need. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So first seeking to understand.
So hard to do, Gabe. So hard to
do.
Can
you give an example to that where you saw your mom do that for you? Or maybe she didn't do that for you.
Yeah, there was many times she didn't do that for me. And, you know, because I... Yeah, just
sorry,
keep,
Veronica.
Just keep it real, Veronica. Hey, it was because it would come off like I'd share something with her and then I felt like I was getting lectured and then I would just like, it would discourage me.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was times where it's like I saw in her eyes like compassion, but it's hard because when you're the recipient of that, you immediately fall into shame.
Yeah, okay.
And so speaking to someone in a sense of like, so what I mean by like coming to understand rather than like, you know, giving them what you think they need.
Mm-hmm.
So an example would be coming back home, like after, you know, let's say, you know, I was in the smoking and I smoked weed for a little bit. And so like coming back home high and, you know, my mom just, you know, looked at me like, what are you high or something? And like, I just saw immediate like anger, frustration. We were like, why do you even do that? Like, and I felt more immediately judged and then fell into the shame that I already felt for doing what I did.
Okay.
Rather than being like, you know, like, Gabe, I want you to know, like, I can understand why you do this and why you choose to do this. Or at least, like, maybe in prayer, I believe God can really reveal that to you, like, the understanding.
Yeah.
But it's the hardest thing to do is put yourself in someone's shoes when you don't really understand because you've never been in that position. But it's, like, first understanding, like, okay, why could they do this? But, like, speaking to them that I only want what's best for you because of how great you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you are not the same level of your sins.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a prince or a princess playing in mud, you know, when they're offered a holiday at the beach. It's kind of like something like C.S. Lewis has a quote.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if someone told me my identity and this is why you don't sin, not because it's not what I'm supposed to do, and because I'm a bad person for doing it, but it's because I'm so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I matter so much that why would I waste my time in these things that are only leading me to my own destruction.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know,
there's the part of the catechism, it's divided up into sections. I won't get real teachy here. But the part that deals with morality, the first line is Christians know your worth.
Yeah.
Before the church starts expounding on the things that get understood as like, don't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. That's the first line. And so that speaks to exactly what you're saying. Like, know your worth.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, amen. So if I was just to summarize it real quick, it would just be know your identity. Mm-hmm. It would be like, let them know their identity and know that they are loved no matter what they do genuinely. And that's one thing my mom did great was unconditional love, mm-hmm. you know? And knowing that no matter what I do, that I'm going to be loved. But, you know, tough love and a good punch to the gut is always a good thing. And I'll never forget one time I came back from a party, and this has stuck with me since day one. And mm-hmm. I was like, Mom, I did it again. I kissed multiple people. God help me. And I came back. I'm sorry if I'm keeping it too real on the show.
No. We're real.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I kissed mm-hmm. three girls in one night, and I came back. I was like, why did I do that, Mom? I shouldn't have done this. And she was like, Gabe, you're like, you're an exam. And this was after a semester already at Hartz Nels. And that was that, you know, where I fell. And she was like, Gabe, like, people are looking up to you and you're an example and you need to step up. And she was like, you need to go read Proverbs. And I opened up Proverbs and it was all about how, you know, like, you know, purity and impurities basically lead to your own destruction. Mm-hmm. And that's what like helped change my life. But it was that punch to the gut that I'll never forget. Mm-hmm. But it also comes with the discernment of the spirit, like knowing when you need to punch them in the gut and knowing when they need to just be like shown mercy.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we're just as imperfect
as
the moms. You know, we would love to be perfect and say all the right things at the right times. It's just not there.
But your prayers are what changes our lives at the end of the day.
And I can attest to that. I think that a lot of times I spend an hour daily with the Lord in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And the world will say you're not doing anything, but the Lord, through his messages, through mystics, through the popes, we're not wasting our time. And I see your mom in adoration when I'm there, you know, and we kind of all know how we're praying for each other. So we kind of all have a prayer in our heart for everybody's family. Mm-hmm. But I believe from what I have studied and learned that when we're there, sitting in front of our Lord, he is taking that grace and disposing it to our families.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we are in proxy for our family sitting in front of the Lord. And I believe every weight of its worth. I have seen the fruit in my own life mm-hmm. through the Lord letting me know when I needed to pray the rosary for one of my children when they were in a situation and the outcome turned out to be victorious in a dangerous situation.
Yeah.
But I think that you have to practice that. And we are in the Christmas. We still are in Christmas season, even mm-hmm. we're 2 weeks out. And there's a lot of grace being bestowed upon us right now during this Christmas season. We need to anchor it and harbor it. What is God giving us right now by sitting in front of his feet, sitting at the feet of Jesus for our whole family? So moms, I want to challenge you, if you've never been to adoration, and even if you don't have an adoration chapel at your church, you do have a church, go and sit in mm-hmm. front of the tabernacle.
Yeah.
And let those graces pour all over you. They're pouring all over your children, wherever they are. Mm-hmm. And be patient in the waiting.
Yes. And hold to the truth of what's happening there, because you can get caught in the feelings, like we were talking about earlier. You say, well, I've gone to adoration, or I've sat before the tabernacle, and I'm just not feeling like anything's happening, or I don't feel like I have anything that I'm praying the right way. You have to let go of all those feelings and just hold to the truth of what is happening there, that you are in the presence of the infant king.
It is true. And I have to say, I know we're about to wrap up and go to break, but these two shows that we've just audio taped back to back have probably been, the spirit is moving in here. Yeah, but let me tell you, on the way here, I was in Mass. I was so confused. So had little splinters, I call them, not big crosses, but little splinters, which a splinter, you know, it's there, right? Mm-hmm. In your finger. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know where these taping of these shows, it's going to be in my house for the first time. We're not in a radio station. My husband, Jerry, is home. You guys see Charlie going back and forth, the dog. But the great thing about it is, the Lord shows up with our nothingness, yes, with our weakness.
Yes,
so it's not about our output. It's about just being, just sitting at his feet.
Yep. And he's going to show up again when we come back from break and take our time for prayer.
Absolutely. See you shortly, girls.
AM 1270, Catholic Radio Charlotte, on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network. Download our new mobile app at carolinacatholicradio.org.
Hello, this is Carolyn Klicka, relationship coach with Abounding Joy, a new feature on Carolina Catholic Radio. Our marriage and other relationships are so important to our peace and happiness. Are you struggling with conflicts that just continue to escalate? Are you dealing with anger, fear, or just feel like you need to find new solutions? I'll share some godly principles on how you can resolve relationship and inner conflicts, create agreements, and move into the peace and joy that God wants for you. Discover greater freedom and healing through insights about the truth of who we are and what God is asking of us. Join me daily for 2 minutes of insight and encouragement for your heart and your relationships. This is Carolyn Klicka with Abounding Joy. Visit me at AboundingJoyMinistry.com. Listen in and discover why today I choose joy.
I'm John Eads.
I'm Jason Murphy.
And each Friday at 5 o'clock, we're going to bring you a new show called The Obligation.
We're going to be talking about what it is to be a man, a father, and a husband God has called us all to be.
Covering current events and things going on in our world that all of us need to be concerned about in order to lead our lives better.
If you've been waiting for that fly on the wall conversation to see what other guys are going through in their lives, their family, their faith walk, this is your opportunity.
The Carolina Catholic Video On Demand section is now available with over 40 video segments from our 12-hour virtual conference held on September 12th. You'll find it under the On Demand tab at carolinacatholicradio.org.
Ladies, we are back. We took a little break, and during that time, we were chatting. So in some ways, I feel like we need to catch you all up, but we are also going to go into some different territory here as well. So we were talking to Gabe about some things that moms can do, and really the main thing you were saying, Gabe, was prayer. It's what we say to the Lord even more than what we say to our sons or our daughters. Is that what I heard?
Yes. Even if your son doesn't talk to you or daughter don't talk to you, that's okay. Prayer. Because God's going to do it at the end of the day. St. Monica, prayer. And you're probably saying, you know, I haven't, you know, I've been praying a lot, but if you haven't prayed 40 years like St. Monica did, then keep praying.
You got more time.
Exactly.
I love it. Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, I mentioned, was vocation. Yes. So I firmly believe, and not this is not a put you on the spot kind of conversation, but I firmly believe that one of the reasons that young people experience such great temptation during those years, the 18 to 25 kind of time frame, is because that is usually the time when a vocation is revealed, whether it's to marriage or religious life, consecrated life. And I think that the enemy sees that time, because that's the time when we are going to embark on a path that leads us to salvation. And if he can get in there at that time and distract us with other things that take us nowhere, he wants to do that. That's his prime time. So What would you say about that experience? It's been a long time for me, yeah. You know, getting close to 30 years. It's been a long time for you, Jean. And it was a different world.
Yes.
In this world, what is it like to try and navigate how God is calling you on a vocational path? How do you discern in the world today? What does that look like?
Yeah. First, I would say for me, like just speaking from experience, it's casting out one of the, like the biggest parts for me was casting out the lie first that I could live a life of purity as a married man. Mm. I didn't believe in my heart that I could live for Jesus by being married. I thought if I was to pursue true holiness, I had to be a priest. And I think that's a lot of the lies that first young people deal with because of, you know, a lot of people coming up with them like, hey, I think you should, you know, think about being a priest. I remember being in daily mass and people just because I was in daily mass be like, hey, so are you seminarian or are you discerning priesthood? Just because I cared about my faith. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big fallacy that we have as youth naturally, subconsciously, just because
right.
of what has been communicated to us, believing like, oh, if I do this, because like one time I prayed. And someone was like, oh, that was like very powerful. You must be discerning priesthood. And I was like, what? I was like, I mean, yeah, like I am discerning. We all should be in discernment until we say I do, you know, mm-hmm. whichever vocation. But it's understanding that we are called to holiness no matter what vocation we're in. And we're going to be priests no matter what, either priests of our family as fathers or priest of, you know, of a church. Mm-hmm. So that is a huge realization of mine that like changed my life. Realizing, wait, I can have both. And I can, like, I mean, I can't have both at the same time,
right.
but, like, both is possible for me, mm-hmm. you know, and I can be a man of purity as being a married man. And that chain was really broken by seeing married men in my own life. And what helped me to discern where God really wants me and what to pursue was first being heavily, like, involved in that person. So when I was discerning, you know, priesthood, it was being around seminarians, being around priests, mm-hmm. seeing like, can I really see myself here? Is God calling me to this? And then to discern marriage, it was being around married men who really live their faith and who I admire mm-hmm. and really want to be like them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, specifically men like Justin Fatica. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was playing with his kids and I started crying. And I was just like, wow, like for the first time in my life, I could like see myself being a father. And I was like, wait, I can do this.
Right.
Like I can be a pure man. And in that, I was truly able to begin discerning where God like would want me to be.
Yeah. So Hard as Nails ministry in some ways is kind of the formation for you to being a holy father and a holy husband, it sounds like.
Oh, totally. Hard as Nails. I say time and time again, it saved my marriage, how the Holy Spirit worked through the ministry. Saved my marriage, no doubt. Because I was all about the feelings and that affected all of my relationships. And I never went to discern like, okay, what does God really want from my life? And I believe I had to be a priest to be a holy man and to get to heaven. Mm-hmm. So that scared me. And I pushed the faith away and would go to more parties because like, oh, I'm going to be a priest anyway. So I might as well do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, but now it's like, you know, but now it's realizing like, no, like I can be a married man. And even if I was called, you know, to be a priest, it was like, I believe like that's not like, you know, where God has me because he thinks he's shown me. But for the longest time, felt like I was called to be a priest, but only because of, I thought that was the only way to be holy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's where, because I had a lack of desire because I didn't believe that like I was really called to that, but I believe like that was my only shot.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So are you, I'm asking yep. personal questions here because I'm a mom, so that's what we do.
I'll bring it.
So are you praying for this future wife who's out there?
Every night, yes. And that was something that someone told me to start doing was like mm-hmm. praying. So I pray for my wife. I pray pray for our purity and chastity before we start dating, our friendship, mm-hmm. When we date, our engagement, our marriage, and our family. And it's a whole thing, but it's
like, yes, no, it's beautiful.
And to be honest with you, it was through prayer when I realized like I went to a seminarian retreat for a week and I discerned it. And I was like, God, I really think I'm called to marriage. And I remember it was during later on after that retreat, about 2 weeks later, I was like, God, I hear you work with like roses and the Saint Therese. So I'm going to try this one on you. And so I was like, God, if you want me to be a priest, show me red flowers. And if you want me to be married, show me white flowers. And I was like, you know, because, you know, white is less likely, so I'm not maneuvering you.
Right. It's so funny how we do this. Yes.
Yeah. And so I was like, you know, I'm not maneuvering you because it's easier to find red. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, and I remember I forgot the prayer I prayed a week later. And the Holy Spirit doesn't always show us our answers then because we're not ready for them, which...
Right.
And I was just graced in that moment. He revealed it to me. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget. He said, turn. I just heard in my heart, like, I knew I was like, I'm going to get my answer. And I forgot the prayer I prayed.
Right.
And he was like, you turn and you're going to find, like, this answer. And I remember turning to my left. And I was like, please, no, don't be red. and it was just green leaves. And then I just knew, I was like, in that moment, you turn right and then I'm going to get my answer. And I remember I turned right. And I literally saw, and I kid you not, the longest strip of white flowers that I've ever seen in a city in my life.
Wow.
Like, it went on for probably 200 yards. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And then other things that have come up where he's, but that was, like, the biggest thing for me.
Yeah. Oh, what a gift, though, to be able to offer your bride when God reveals who she is, to be able to say to her, I have been praying for you and for our family. I mean, what woman doesn't want that?
And I bet you she'll be
day?
Carrying white roses down the aisle.
No. Yeah, hey, amen. If anyone keeps me focused, I may not have met her yet, but my wife keeps me focused because I'm like, she helps me. I'm being honestly, mm-hmm. She helps me not go to parties. She helps me not to get back into the college because I'm like, wait, like, whatever I have now, whatever I hold goes into our marriage and affects her. So it's like she helps me more than anybody else, to be completely honest with you.
That is wonderful.
It's crazy.
That is wonderful.
It's crazy.
My one daughter, she's a beautiful young lady, and she's been single for a long time, but she's patient in the waiting. She knows her worth. She's my third, and we had such joy in raising her. And we were talking coming out of Mass the other day because she's been praying to St. Raphael, the patron saint of marriage. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, I said, the young man that God has for you, God is grooming to be good enough for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she said, oh, it just,
right.
It's just
it's
a nice
just
little.
It's not just idle waiting.
No, it's not idle waiting.
It's purposeful.
It's purposeful. Mm-hmm. And he is working on him so he can be the prince that she deserves to receive.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, after talking about all this prayer, Jane,
yes.
I think we need to go into prayer.
Yes,
we need to
go into
prayer for all these young people and their moms.
And we are so glad to be praying with you again, Gabe.
Yes.
Would you like to start us again, Gabe?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
we'll have Kathleen sanctify.
We sanctify our time in the name of the
Father
and
the
Son
and the
Holy
Spirit.
Amen.
God, I thank you for this time. I just pray right now that you just are able to bring truth to those people right now who may feel discouraged, may feel that they have failed as a mother and that they have not done what they were called to do and have failed you because of their kids straying away or falling into things of this world. And I ask that you cast out that lie, because if anything, God, when the physical kids that you have given to these mothers stray away, they're able to unite with your heart all the more because your kids walk away from you every day, God. You have many kids out there who walk away. And so let them come to know, like, this is a time for them to unite their hearts with you and to realize, no, I'm more like Jesus, because Jesus, you were the best teacher, yet you still had a disciple who strayed away and walked away from you. So let these mothers not be discouraged, because you were the most perfect teacher, and even you had people and people every day who walk away from you. So let them know that the power of their prayers is what's going to save these people, and that just because their sibling, their kids or siblings have strayed away, it does not mean they have failed in any way, God. They just, they have not failed in any way. And let them know in their hearts that, you know, we always do have shortcomings, but your prayer is greater than our feelings, and our prayers are greater than our feelings, and our prayers are greater than our failures. So speak to that, God.
Lord, I just thank you for these shows that you show up and you take our littleness, our loaves and our fishes, what meager offerings we have, and you do something beautiful with them. So all glory goes to you, Lord. And we would like right now, with all of our beautiful women that are listening, to ask for a mighty anointing on Gabe and great thanksgiving for his beautiful honesty, an anointing on his family, on his precious mother, who we know and love, Veronica, and their beautiful marriage with Guy, just gorgeous marriage. Bless their marriage abundantly. Bless the ministry that Gabe is involved with, Hard as Nails. Bless the ministry with many young people willing to give their lives and their time to go out and minister to the youth so they will know their identities. Holy Spirit, come upon Hard as Nails in a powerful way and continue to guide them. I pray that a spirit of generosity will come into the Hard as Nails ministry as far as receptivity from all the people that would love to shower them with their prayers. Not only their prayers, but their works of their labors, Lord, the fruit of their labor. We thank you, Lord, for this time of prayer. We thank you for the vocations that are out there. Brings hope to the world, family, priestly vocation, religious, all brings hope, points to something beautiful, the mystery of your love. We praise you for that.
And I also want to lift up in a particular way, young women, the daughters of our listeners, the young women who are listeners, who may feel discouraged. I hope that Gabe was able to show you that you may not know him yet, but the Lord has a young man in mind for you, and you don't have to settle. Right. You can hold your standards to a godly standard, and he will provide for you. We make this prayer in the Lord's name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can I just add one more prayer that's coming to me?
Of course.
For our listeners who are not in their 20s, but maybe in their 40s or 50s and have not found a suitable spouse. I just want to ask the Lord to fill you with great hope today. A new springtime. God never looks at age, only we do. He did a mighty work with Moses at 80 and Sarah and Hannah and all kinds of beautiful people in the scripture. So have hope. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we are wrapping up. Gabe, thank you so much. But we want to mention your ministry, Hard as Nails, which we're going to put on our Facebook, Joyful Echo.
Yep, absolutely. All the details there.
All the details so the women can go look it up and see all the marvelous things you all are doing.
Yes. Yep. And we'll be in Charlotte February 6th to March 1st. So
and there's a men's retreat, a father-son retreat, right? When?
Yes, that'll be between February 18th and the 21st. We'll have events there. So our tour team will be here during those 3 days.
Oh, we might bring the tour team in and do a tour team interview with them.
Yes, let's
all
do
right,
it.
All right, ladies, until next Wednesday, have a wonderful week.
Yes, yes, yes. Enjoy the Christmas season.